members of our congregation. These are memorial flowers for them, and family members are here with us. We're honored to remember and lift up. And we are a caring congregation. I want to lift up Sam Bugino, a leader in the church who had to go to the emergency room twice on Wednesday night for extreme pain. He and Mary are getting things under control with the doctors, but we lift up Sam in our hearts. Albert Einstein receives a telegram and reads it. From Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein, do you believe in God? Stop. Answer paid, 50 words. Well, I guess I need to respond given the fact that Rabbi Goldstein is a prominent leader in the New York Jewish community. Here we are in the year 1930, and this seems to be another moment of dis-ease between the religious and scientific communities. Boy, folks really reacted strongly when I said that I always refer to myself as religious. The great scientific genius Albert Einstein had written recently in a public document that the most beautiful emotion we can experience is the mysterious. It is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer wonder and stand in rapt awe, is as good as dead, a snuffed out candle. To sense that behind anything that can be experienced, there is something that our minds cannot grasp, whose beauty and sublimity reaches us only indirectly, this is religiousness. In this sense, and in this sense only, I am a devoutly religious man. There are endless examples of how we humans are pulled into feeling mystery, pulled toward standing in rapt awe for the cosmos, pulled towards being religious. Now, we're talking about a mystery written by Stephen King, and not a mystery as in a problem, but mystery as in a sense of wonder and appreciation for the world. Another great man could have thought it was annoying or nerve-wracking. The story goes that 13th century Muslim poet Rumi heard beauty in the banging and clanging of hammers. He was so open to the possibilities of life that he followed the sound of goldsmiths and the stirring of his heart, and he began to dance, turning in his feet and his hips and his body. They say through that he found a doorway to the presence of the universe. He was the opposite of a snuffed-out candle. His soul was so ablaze with life that people thought he was crazy. In our own lives, here and now, I know I'm not alone. Sometimes I miss out. Sometimes I feel like I just can't do it. Einstein was a genius. Rumi was a sage. But we all don't have that high level of intellectual and spiritual capacity, certainly not all the time. Rumi's story makes me think about how in our own lives, often it's interesting to think about how we do or don't take advantage of opportunities for feeling awe. Joshua Bell is a world-class violinist, and not long ago, he and the Washington Post teamed up on an experiment to look at how people take advantage of an offering of beauty. It was a weekday morning, and Mr. Bell played his top-of-the-line Stradivarius violin in a public train station. Bell began by playing Bach's Chaconne. Mark, am I saying it right? close enough. Should have checked it before the sermon started. But Bell says that he believes this is not just one of the greatest pieces of music ever written, but also one of the greatest achievements of any person in history. He says this music is spiritually and emotionally powerful, and it's a structurally perfect piece. Well, people rushing on their way to work didn't necessarily agree. From outward appearances, most seemed indifferent. The reporter Emily Schroeder described the scenes. 3 minutes of music and 65 people had already passed by when finally one middle-aged man altered his gait for a split second, turned his head, and seemed to notice that some guy was playing music in the corner. But then he went on and kept walking. A half a minute later, Bell got his first donation when one woman threw a buck in and walked by. And it was not until 6 minutes into the performance that somebody actually stopped and listened. Next, Mr. Bell played Schubert's Ave Maria, which did not get much better reception. In the 3/4 of an hour that he played, 7 people stopped what they were doing to hang around and take in the performance for at least a minute. One of them said that he didn't know much about classical music, but listening now gave him a sense of peace. 1,070 people hurried by, seemingly oblivious, many only a few feet away, but not even turning to look. Now, of course, this was a morning rush hour at a metro station where people were hustling on to start their day somewhere, and in a different place and time, more folks would have stopped. But this experiment did shed light on the fact that in our society, many of us struggle with entrenched patterns of thinking and being that keep us removed from feeling awe and mystery. Many of us are busy. The sign of the times these days, I think, I can't believe how many retired people I hear saying how busy they are. People also struggle with being disconnected from awe and wonder because at times life really hurts, or it just doesn't make sense, or life just doesn't feel right. So people feel disconnected from wonder for the miracles of life. Well, whatever our context, most of us have to work to develop our skills in paying attention. And we need to do this in order to not become snuffed out candles. The First Unitarian Church of Rochester has one of the best mission statements of any church that, in my opinion, that I've seen. Their mission statement is simple. It says this: creating connection by listening to our deepest selves, opening to life's gifts, and serving needs greater than our own every day. Creating connection by listening to our deepest selves, opening to life's gifts, and serving needs greater than our own every day. Now, I think the order of this is important. Listening, opening, serving. Listen, open, serve. I feel it's a great trinity of spiritual practices and a great way of life. Now, for me, this shows where, in my opinion, Einstein had a good point in saying that you don't have to believe in an all-powerful, all-knowing God to be religious. But I think that listen, open, serve shows that Einstein and his definition of religiousness fell short because he did not talk about serving others, being a channel for goodness. Harvey Cox has been a leading scholar on religion for decades out of the Harvard Divinity School. And in his latest book, The Future of Faith, Mr. Cox argues that we have clearly moved past what he calls the age of belief towards the age of spirit. Increasingly, there are tons of studies these days showing numbers of people are having reduced interest in theological creeds. And people are turning more and more to religion and spiritual community for support in their efforts to live in this world and make it better and less focused on the next world. The pragmatic and the experiential elements of faith as a way of life are displacing previous emphasis on institutions and pre-established beliefs. I think those sound like great conditions for our congregation to thrive in living out our mission. There's a lot of different ways to come at this. I'm going to take one of them. There's a great film that many of us were proud of, a documentary about the Philadelphia Orchestra called Music from the Inside Out. And I think it speaks directly towards listen, open, serve. In the film, musicians agree that in order to play music well, one must realize that music has to come from the inside out. An essential part of learning to be a great musician involves finding your voice within. I think it's true for faith as well. The second main religious message reinforced by the film is that no matter how wonderfully we connect with our own inner voice, we need to connect with others and people and things beyond ourselves. Many of the players had an aha moment when they realized that playing alone would not be enough. Star violinist David Kim had been playing solos for a number of years at universities in small towns across the country, and one night his soul would not let him sleep. He could not rest. And in the morning, he sat down with his wife at the breakfast table, and he said, "Honey, I have to let go of my ego. I can't do it anymore. I have to join an orchestra." And now Mr. Kim says he is amazingly grateful for the ecstasy he receives playing with others. He pays attention to the mystery and is open to life's gifts, the gifts of others, gifts that are greater than the gift he has alone. Reflecting on the journey from self-sufficiency to sharing, one of the players says, "Without playing with others, a musician is not having a full life." Probably true for most spiritual beings as well, including humans. Okay, so that might be helpful to you. It might be too theoretical or obtuse. I'm trying not to be too obtuse in my preaching. So I'm going to bring a specific set of options to you for spiritual practices, ways you can live this out so that you won't be snuffed out candles, but you can be ablaze with life. Numero uno, pay attention and listen. Pay attention and listen in your daily life to yourself and to others. But more importantly, in this spiritual exercise, pay attention when you're not listening. What's going on when you're numbed out? What's going on when you can't pay attention at all and floating out there in the ether and hoping the other person doesn't know you're not there? What's going on when you don't know what your soul's telling you? Try and come at it from that other end, and then maybe you can chip away at those numbing out or those walls that get created between your living and your soul. Spiritual exercise number two is old school gratitude list. Make a gratitude list. Find a notepad or a journal and make 10 pages, because I would like you to go 10 days. And set it by your bed or a nice place to sit, and once a day, take 10 or 15 minutes and write down what you're grateful for. This could be the copper leaves on the dogwoods or the gold oak trees right now in Mount Airy, or it could be that your poached eggs were amazing this morning. Anything from the big to small, health, friends, family, a random act of kindness that you experienced, but just pay attention to it. What that is opening you up to life's gifts. And a lot of it is mysterious, and beautiful. The last major religious lesson reinforced by the movie, Music from the Inside Out, involves serving, just like faith. Music can and does change the world. One of the musicians reflected that over the years he's come to believe that hearing a great piece of music, a person goes away a little different than he or she arrived. Here's a story from 2005 proving the point, not from that movie. In 2005, in the midst of war's painful clamor in Iraq, on a Friday evening, the Iraqi National Symphony performed a concert. Now, that might not seem like an important fact, but it is, because it had been over a year since they had played, and a lot of sadness had transpired in that time. In the time when they had only played once in 2 years, up to 45,000 Iraqis had been killed in the war, and hardly a day had gone by when a number of American soldiers weren't killed. But in that context, Iraqis packed the red upholstered seats in the darkened hall of the National Theater in central Baghdad, while men in machine guns stood in the aisles, and two snipers were perched up on the second floor balcony as security. Guards had to frisk every concert goer who came into the room. The concert was a grand achievement and a needed symbol of hope. Now, these are musicians who for their whole lives had learned to listen to their souls and develop their own inner voices. They had learned to open to life's gifts, including playing with one another and appreciating Mozart and Brahms. But they said that this was a different day, that they couldn't just keep getting buried in the sadness and struggles of their country, their beloved patria. They couldn't keep feeling like they were becoming snuffed out candles. They needed to make a statement about courage and hope. So it was in this context that profound spirituality and joy was experienced by many when the first swells of Beethoven filled the room. Karim Wasfi, the 30-year-old cello soloist, said, "This is not just a concert. We decided to challenge the whole situation. We're saying this country is not all about car bombs. We wanted to prove that we are alive. We are alive. Prove it to the world, prove it to ourselves." Masjid Al-Jasali, the principal violinist, said that the people of Iraq were struggling daily to meet their basic needs of food and water. And he said, they also need music. They need awe. They need wonder. This is our mission. Many people in the audience said that the mere act of attending that concert with poor lighting and the musicians sitting in little plastic chairs on stage was an effort to reclaim parts of their lives that were lost in the war and violence. No matter how good or bad things are for you, I invite you to take a moment and recognize the countless beautiful parts of life which cannot be denied. Listen to your soul. I think it's telling you to do a beautiful thing. Blessings be.